and welcome to IG's Trading the Markets. We are joined by Temasek CIO Chris Versace, all the way from Washington, to talk about this hot, hot, hot CPI number that we've just had, which is moving markets as we speak. As this is going to be a podcast, let's talk about it in a longer term sort of perspective. These inflation upward pressures are really not going to go away, are they?
It doesn't seem so, especially when you factor in what we've seen with commodity prices really over the last several weeks, oil in particular. I know here in the States, gas prices are up some 17% from where their lows were in December. And we know that fuel, even though it's not counted in, you know, the core CPI, the core PPI, we do know that it has a meaningful ripple effect across other areas that are factors into those metrics. So I do think that there's going to be a very stubborn headwind. But I have to say, Angeline, I'm a little surprised that people did not see this coming. You know, again, you can look at what we've seen on commodity prices, but, you know, if you pay attention to the data, and I think this is where a lot of folks kind of get it wrong, that they have a thesis they want. They look for data to hopefully support it. They don't let the data, as I like to say, talk to them. And if you looked at the March PMI reports for the U.S., manufacturing and services, what it said about input prices, wages, the ADP employment report, which saw a uptick in job changer wages on a year-over-year basis. And then you start to think what we're going to deal with in California with the minimum wage increase there for fast food workers. There's a lot of headwinds for inflation progress. And just stepping back real quick, we can talk all about the March data, right? But when you look at the core CPI over the last, not 1 month, not 2 months, the last 6 months, it's been trapped effectively between 3.8% and 4% year over year, stalled out. So I think what we're seeing in the market is kind of a wake-up call that, you know, while the Fed might have penciled in three rate cuts in March, the reality is it's not seeing this good data that it keeps talking about. We're going to see those expectations slide. I wouldn't be surprised if the next array of Fed heads come out and talks about not seeing that good data. And that's going to force the market to realize, hey, it could be as few as one or no rate cuts this year.
And Chris, the data certainly has been speaking loudly, as you say, from not just from the labor market, commodities, but also just in, you know, the reaction that we've seen, dollar hitting its highest against, you know, the yen, but also the fact that the dollar was creeping higher ahead of this. What are we going to take from this for our clients? Are we in a position now to say that actually rates aren't high enough?
That's the big question, right? There is a contingent out there that says, wow, we might have to have one more rate hike. I think the Fed is likely to kind of pause here and just leave policy in place for a little bit longer. So I think, you know, from a probability perspective, is it possible that we might see another rate hike? You certainly can't rule it out given the data. But I think the higher probability is that rates are going to stay where they are for even longer than what people were thinking. And that's going to have to, you know, kind of reverberate through market expectations, right? Not only for the economy, but also for certain interest rate sensitive sectors like housing, for example.
Now, one of the key stocks that our clients really like trading is Apple. Just showing you a chart now, all session chart, because Apple has been really interesting recently because it has been trying to diversify its supply chain beyond China. And for those of us that remember the, you know, pictures from the pandemic when, you know, the plants there were locked down, also the supply chain crisis that happened often. Obviously, the tensions between Washington and Beijing also not helping it. So Apple has diversified into India. And we had data today showing that Apple's India iPhone output has hit $14 billion. This is according to data from Bloomberg. Is this something that you are watching, this theme of further getting the supply chains, you know, spread out, so that Apple is not reliant just on China? I know Vietnam's also trying to vie for that iPhone manufacturing business.
India, Vietnam, Africa, I mean, these are all areas where Companies are looking to kind of offshore or newly offshore their production capabilities. At the same time, we've got companies like Taiwan Semiconductor looking to add capacity here in the US. So, I think you're right that a lot of this really bubbled up or started to bubble up during the pandemic, realizing that, wow, if we do have some type of global calamity, there is a big risk that we have to face. So it is smart to kind of revisit where your operations are, but certainly the geopolitical backdrop is yet another factor. So I'm not surprised by what we're seeing. I think that's very good progress for Apple. I think it has more to do. You can't simply reorganize your supply chains in just a couple of quarters. It does take time, especially when you're dealing with a country like India where there are certain hurdles that have to be met. But I would say too, Angeline, that there's some other positive news out there as it relates to Apple. First, IDC came out with their March quarter PC sales on a global basis, up about 1.3% 1.3% on a year-over-year basis, the first increase in 2 years. But for Apple, when you dig into the data, their shipments were up over 14% on the same basis, suggesting that they're taking share in the Mac category. Positive. We also had some data out this morning from Taiwan Semiconductor for their March revenue. And when you kind of put it all together for the first quarter, TSM's March revenue for the quarter was up about 16.5% year over year, better than expected. And we have to remember that some of the key end markets are high performance computing, which is, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, data center and AI. But the data also suggests that the smartphone market might be holding up better than expected.
And last but not least, we're on the cusp of the US earnings season. Of course, banks lead that party. Any thoughts on which ones might be the winners and which ones might be the losers?
Well, I would say that we'll have a much better sense of that after we get through earnings results on Friday from JP Morgan, Wells Fargo. JP Morgan is, of course, the gold standard, a very diversified bank. So, we'll be listening for what they say about domestic loan activity, about asset gathering for their asset management businesses, but also, and this is going to be probably the most important thing for me, what do they say about their outlook for investment banking? We've had some recently high-profile IPOs price. The market is kind of hoping that the IPO window will open. There's a tremendous backlog of deals. If that window opens and sticks, and we see a flow of IPOs, that's going to be dramatically positive for companies like JP Morgan, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley. So that's the big thing that we'll be listening for on Friday from JP.
Thanks very much, Chris Versace, there, all the way from Washington, CIO of Temasek, talking. That hotter than expected US consumer price print, Apple, and also the earnings season.